Well, hello everyone out in our listening audience. I want to say God is good, and he's been good to me. If they ask me 1,000 years from now, all he's ever been is just good. And so I want to talk to you today just a little bit about what do you do when you get shook? What should you do when you get shook? And we all face things that catch us off guard, things that are overwhelming, things that can be sometimes even daunting, sometimes even intimidating. I want to share from a scripture, and it's talking about, there's some literal things going on, but it's also talking, the scripture is speaking metaphorically as well. In Haggai, the second chapter, the Bible says, and I'm reading out of the NIV, says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land." And the companion scripture to that is found in Hebrews 12. And it reads, "The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken." That is, created things. "So that what cannot be shaken may remain." Now we've had earthquakes here. They've taken place forever, as long as the earth has stood. But we've seen an increased volume of earthquakes, and we have seen the intensity of them increase. Not even a couple of months ago, we had an intense earthquake right here in China Lake area in California. We've seen earthquakes in diverse places, and we know the devastation that comes when there is a shaking. Well, even in our lives, we have earthquakes. We have quakes. We have shaking. There are things that happen in our lives. Sometimes it may be something that you have dreamed about, whether it be a career or a relationship, and it, you saw it just slip through your hands like sand, and that shook you. Or it could be the loss of a loved one, or something that you think that should have happened and it didn't happen, and you got shook. I'm going to tell you, I've been shook. I've been shook career-wise. I've been shook in terms of relationships. I've been shaken by the loss of things. I've been shook. I've been shook when things didn't go the way that I thought that they ought to have gone. But you know what I found is that in those moments when I'm shook, when you feel a shaking, the first thing that comes to your mind is, let me grab hold of something that's not shaking. I mean, let me get on something that's stable. Let me get sure footed here. Let me get something under me that's not moving, so I can gather myself, so I can get a frame of reference, so I can reorient myself, as it were. And I want you to know that today, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. He is the surest thing there is. You can count on him. No matter what happens around you, no matter what happens above you, no matter what happens under you, no matter what happens inside of you, Jesus Christ is always deliverer. He is always savior. He is always provider. He is always comforter. He is everything that you need. And I like the scripture because it kind of helps us understand that everything is vulnerable in our lives. You know, he said that everything will get shook, whether it is in the heavens, it could be spiritual things in your life, things that are happening that you don't understand. On the earth could be material things. I mean, nothing escapes that. And it's not that God tempts us with evil, because he's not evil. He can't tempt us with evil. But what he does is he allows trials in our lives because it shakes stuff up. And what he wants you to see is that when the shaking is over, the only thing that remains are the things that are important. When the shaking is over, it's not the car. It's not the house. It's not those material things. I mean, sometimes we even might put relationships above God. He doesn't want anything before him. And all of those things that are vulnerable to shaking, he said they'll get shaken. They'll get shaken. And there's a reason. Because the things that are created, the things that are subject to shaking, when they go away, what happens is we get to see what's important. Because in Hebrew he says, the fact that the phrase once more indicates the removing of what can be shaken. If it can be shaken, it will be shaken. Sometimes there are things that are in our lives that don't need to be there. They're not foundational to our relationship with him. They're not foundational to our journey. And those things need to get shook loose. You need to be able to see that those things are not what you need in your life, whether it might be somebody that needs to be removed from your life. Sometimes we have, in order to grow, we have to let go. It could be that your eyes were focused on your career and having a career and being career oriented, or having a desire to pursue your purpose. All of those things are good in and of themselves, but God does not want anything in front of him. He doesn't want anything to become your God. He doesn't want anything. I mean, success is in and of itself. It's not a bad thing we want. God is committed to your success. He's committed to the success of your life. He's committed to seeing you purposed. However, success without Jesus means that if you're pursuing that outside of him guiding you and him giving you your purpose, that thing becomes your God. I think this is how I would like to characterize it. Even in the church, with we Christians, sometimes we become circumstance-dependent Christians. In other words, as long as everything is okay around us, we are all right. I think in the past they've called it good weather Christians, you know. But God is looking for people who are willing to have the integrity of their identity no matter where, no matter when, no matter what the circumstances are. I mean, today we see so much division in our country and in the world at large. And there are divisions along racial lines. There are divisions along political lines. There are divisions along cultural lines. And God is looking for people who to be able to stand, who are willing to stand up and say, you know what? Before I am anything, I am a Christian. I say this without fear of reprisal, and it might even raise some brows with some people, but listen, I am not a black man that happens to be a Christian. No, I am a Christian who happens to be a black man. My core identity is that I am sold out. I have been blood bought. Jesus Christ gave up his identity as when he stepped out of glory. He took on this flesh, this ugly flesh. He took on this reality of man, and he divested himself for me, for you. He gave up all of that for us so that we could gain this royal identity that's being offered to us. We are able to become a part of the family of God through Jesus Christ. That we gain this identity that the enemy has tried to keep us blinded to. He doesn't want you to know that you can be a child of the living King. He doesn't want you to know that you could be a child, an offspring of God. The enemy does not want you to know that the authority and the power that you have in your identity. So what does the devil do? He tries to get you to be a circumstance-dependent Christian so that, like, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, where the Bible says, if in this life, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men most miserable. If all Christianity is for us is that God is some glorified gift giver where, you know, if you become a Christian, everything is hunky-dory. You'll have the big house. You'll have the nice car. You'll have this. You'll have that. But as soon as there are some trials, as soon as there are some circumstances that you might deem oppositional that try your faith, then all of a sudden you get shook. And don't get me wrong, we all get shook, but you got to remind yourself, and that's what I want to do today. I want to remind you who you are, and more importantly, whose you are. If you have been born again, if you have said yes to Jesus, then you belong to God. You belong to the creator of the universe. And don't you know, and you can be sure that he is aware of everything that goes on in your life. The Bible says that even a sparrow, a bird, if it falls to the ground, God is aware of it. How much more one of his creatures in whom he has breathed and they became a living creature. God put something of himself in you. You have a spark of divinity in you. You partner with God in creation. He called you to partner with him in creation. You think that you thought of those wonderful things that have caused your life to go forward? You think that you look at all of the wonderful wonders of the world that man has created, and you think that that just happened to pop into our heads? Listen, God breathed in you. There is something of God in you. God is a creator. God calls things that are not as though they were. He calls things out of the darkness to the light. He calls things out of nothing, and he makes material. God does that. And don't you know that same God is concerned about you? He doesn't look at your life haphazardly and just allow things. He didn't wind you up like a doll and didn't matter whether you bumped into a wall or walked off the edge of the stairs or whatever. God is not playing with us. He loves you. He's not playing with you. He sees the trouble. He sees the difficulty. He sees the darkness. He sees the pit. He's warning us. He's calling us. He's directing us. And when things do happen and sometimes he allows those things to happen, it's because there are things that need to get shook. So don't always look at a shaking as necessarily a bad thing. That's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you find yourself in diverse trials and tribulations. James says, count it joy. I mean, sometimes I have a difficult time myself reconciling that. Because how am I going to count in joy when this is going to leave a scar, Lord, or doesn't look like it's going to be good for me or good for my loved ones or whatever. If I trust God, see, the thing I know about God is that when I don't know what he's saying, I know I can stand on what he's already said. Because his word is sure. Not one dot of the I or cross of the T is going to pass away. If God said it, you can best believe it. And so sometimes it may even seem in the midst of your trials that God is not doing anything. Oh man, it's not even just whether I can see his hand. Because even if I can't see his hand, I can trust his heart. Because I know God's character. I already know that he loves me. He demonstrated that for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I know for an assurity. But when I'm not able to reconcile what's happening, sometimes it's like, God, are you doing anything? And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes he's not. But this is the thing that you and I have to understand. When God is not doing anything, he is doing something. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You're confusing me. You see, when God is not doing anything, see, if God is intentional, everything that God does, he does purposefully. He does intentionally. He didn't haphazardly do anything. He didn't do it. Didn't do it by accident. And you said, "Oh, that was pretty good. I'll do that again." God is intentional in everything he does. So even when he pauses, when he's not doing anything, when he's not saying anything, there's a reason why he's not saying anything. There's a reason why he's not doing anything. So if he's not doing anything, that means he's doing something. So if God seems to be slow to you, just know that the Lord, Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. And sometimes when we think about a shepherd, he takes the sheep to the green pastures. and he leads them to fresh water. But I want you to know that when you're on your way to the green pastures and you're on your way to the fresh waters, sometimes you go through the rocky place. So you've got to know that when you're going through the rocky place, you're going through the rocky place. You're not going to the rocky place. Jesus is still that great shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. He is still that great shepherd of the sheep, because he's not taking you to the rocky place. He's taking you through it. You're still on your way to fresh water, and you're still on your way to green pasture. I mean, you can tell your friend, you can tell those who might say to you, oh, you're a believer, then why are you having these problems? Why are you doing this? You say, you know what? I'm on my way through these rocky places because God is leading me to fresh water and green pastures. He's not taking me to this place. I'm on my way through because he's taking me to. So when life doesn't seem to give you what you think or what you think you deserve, just know that God has a plan. We have to have a heart that says, nevertheless. How do you get there? How do you get to the heart of God? See, the way to, how do we get to the place where we're able to say, not my will, but your will be done? How do we get there? If we're not pressed, how do you get there? How do you get grape juice if you don't press the grapes? How do you get olive oil if you don't press the olives? You get the essence of those, of the olives. You get the essence of the grapes when you press them. One of the references to Jesus, prophetic references, is he's the rose of Sharon. And I love roses. My wife loves roses. And we have these roses around our home and everywhere we go. Every time we've owned a home, a different home, she said, you got to make sure I got roses. And what I've learned to do when the blossoms are getting older on the vine, on the branch rather, I would take them off and off the stem, and I'd crush them in my hand to get that one last smell. Because if you crush those roses in your hand, man, it's just so fragrant. The fragrance is so strong. I mean, you can smell them before you crush them, but when you crush it, you get the essence of that. And sometimes God has to allow us to be shaken for us to see who we really are at our core. What is your identity? What is your identity? And sometimes during that, in that process, it looks like the enemy, he appears to be the one that's prospering. I mean, come on now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've worked secular jobs, and I know that I've seen people do underhanded things, and it looked like it worked for them, you know. But the Bible says, even in those seasons, to fret not yourself because of the workers of iniquity. You see, God sees. So when the loss is great, know that the gain is greater. Paul said, I'll lose everything to win Christ. Everything. I'll give it all away. We're reminded that no man having lost houses or land won't have it restored 100-fold. God said, I'll restore the years of the cankerworm and the palmer worm. I will restore. So what do you do when you get shook? You go back and you stand on the word of God. You stand on what God has already said. What do you do when you get shook? You look around and you see what's left. You see what can't be touched. Those are the things that are eternal. And those are the things that you need to be vested in. The Bible says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on earth, because these things are able to be corrupted. But when you lay your treasures up on high, they are secure in God. Don't worry about getting shook. Don't worry about the shaking. God is doing something greater. in your life.